The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but whenever you hear people associate God with America, it gives you the heebie-jeebies. Well, actually, since today is the 4th of July, it might not be such a bad idea to ponder this for a moment. With the exception of Israel, there has never been a country with a history more unique than the United States of America. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the same day, and this day happened to be the 4th of July? The very least, I would think this should give us a moment of pause. That's either an amazing, incredible, random coincidence or an indication that God is in control, not only of our nation and our destiny, but our individual lives as well. Of course, God has been known to abandon countries after they abandon him. I miss people like Jefferson and Adams. I never met them. But oh, how I miss them, especially when I listen to the politicians we have in their place. Occasionally, Senator Joe Lieberman, one such politician, makes sense. Last week was not such a time. He says he is in favor. This is just going to give you the shivers if you haven't already heard it by now, but a lot of people aren't talking about it, so maybe you haven't heard it by now. He says he is in favor of legislation granting President Obama power to completely seize control of the internet in the event of a national emergency. Now, what kind of emergency could possibly warrant the shutdown of free speech? I mean, wouldn't one's ability to access information be more important than ever in the midst of an emergency? That's a fair objection, even apart from the humble little fact that such a usurping of power is completely unconstitutional, clashing head-on with the First Amendment. My concern is heightened when I wonder just exactly what the Obama administration might call an emergency. Yeah, they have officially announced that they refuse to call Islamic fascists terrorists. They won't call them Islamic fascists either. But Homeland Security head Jenna Napolitano lists the following groups as pools of people from which terrorists can arrive: evangelical Christians, veterans, pro-life activists, and people concerned about protecting our own borders. Translation: anyone who disagrees with the policies of this administration might cause a national emergency. You want my opinion? Obama looking for an excuse to take over the internet is itself the emergency. So let me see if I'm understanding this. Obama wants power to seize the internet in case of an emergency. Obama is also suing the state of Arizona for enforcing its borders. His stated reason is that Arizona is violating the civil liberties of its people. Yes, I get it. The whole thing is so clear now. Asking people if they are in our country legally violates freedom. As for shutting down free speech, that doesn't violate freedom at all. Had they made this stuff up for a movie, the critics would have panned the film for being too far-fetched. Of course, taking over the internet is only one of many ways our government can control speech. Hate crime legislation is another way, and hate crime, naturally, is only the beginning of hate speech legislation, made possible by turning the issue of gay marriage into a civil rights matter, indoctrinating not only our adults, but our children as well. And here to explain it to your children is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey kids, do you know what makes America such a great country? Family. That's right, family. Each and every one of you belongs to a family, even if you don't like your family very much. And families are as American as apple pie, baseball, and hot dogs. Of course, baseball is a chauvinistic sport because women don't play in the World Series, and apple pie has too much sugar and is not as good for you as carrot cake or quiche. And hot dogs are not very good for you either, unless you call them Frankfurters. And remember that the Frankfurter is really a German food. German food is good to eat because Germany is a different culture, and anything from a culture different than our culture is always good, even if Germany is a Western culture, and therefore not as good of a culture as a third world culture. But back to families. Just as there are different kinds of cultures, there are different kinds of families. Some of you have mommies and daddies who love you. Some of you have sisters and brothers who hate you. Some of you have grandmas and grandpas who watch you for the weekend when mommies and daddies need a break and want to get away from you. These kinds of families are familiar. But did you know that new kinds of families are forming these days? That's right, brand new families. And some of these families are more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Sooner or later, one of your little playmates will tell you that instead of a mommy and a daddy, they have two mommies or two daddies. This may look unusual, especially if you see the two mommies kissing or the two daddies cuddling on the couch while watching a football game. But even though these new families look unusual, they are actually very, very normal. Anyone who thinks two mommies are not as good as a mommy and a daddy is a fascist. Can you spell fascist? Fascist begins with an F, and an F is what you will get as a grade if you disagree with your teachers when they teach you that two mommies are normal. But it's not just a matter of spelling the word. Do you know what a fascist is? A fascist is one who believes in nasty dictators, or nasty kings, or nasty generals. These nasty rulers tell people what to do, and tell people what to think, and those who don't obey the rulers go to jail. Do you like jail? Then don't be a fascist. Now, some of you are wondering, what if I become a fascist by accident? After all, I didn't know that two ladies kissing was normal. Nobody told me that before. Don't worry. At least you heard about it today, and you heard about it in time. And we'll continue helping you each and every day by telling you what to do and telling you what to think about mommies and daddies. Someday this won't be a problem anymore. Someday it will be against the law to call something abnormal. And once we arrest those who break this law, we will keep ourselves from becoming a fascist country and remain the good old-fashioned American country we've always been. Because once again, family is as American as apple pie, hot dogs, and, well, you get the idea. That's all, kids. Have fun with your families.
Gotta love that Smiley Miley. But all kinds of indoctrination is going on today, such as the latest pleasant unifying words of Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Wright may not sound very civil when he talks, but he sure talks a lot about civil rights. He claimed in a recent speech that the 1960s civil rights movement was only about making black people white. I see. So those who fought to overcome segregation should have realized that blacks and whites need their own distinct identity. Indeed, on some college campuses these days, African Americans have actually insisted on having their own dorms. Ironic that years after segregation was successfully put behind us, so many people taking their cues from the likes of Reverend Wright are starting to talk like George Wallace. Reverend Wright, what a shame you cannot explain your views about America's false civil rights movement to the many blacks and whites who worked together to end Jim Crow laws, such as the three students, one black, two white, who were murdered in Mississippi by the KKK for helping African Americans get to the voting booths. Oops! Wrong example. Those two white kids were also Jewish. You see, Wright not only hates white people, he's also an avid anti-Semite. Yes, this man certainly has the moral authority to be lecturing the rest of us on race relations. What do people pay when they buy his sermon CDs? Whatever the price, you gotta believe me. It's too much. We need to take our country back. We have one window of opportunity. This November, we missed that opportunity. We've missed it. We'll then be on a road without any turns. Mark my words. It can be argued that Obama and the Democrats have already done irreparable damage in the year and a half they've been in office. And if Republicans take back the House and the Senate, there's no guarantee that they'll do what they promised instead of worrying about that the New York Times is going to write about them. So I'm not saying winning this election in November will work. I'm saying we better try it. Our real hope, of course, is prayer. And maybe this 4th of July asking for prayer would be a fitting request. Not all of you who listen to this program are religious, and I respect that, but I'm not going to leave you out. We're going to play a beautiful piece of music recorded by Celtic Woman. It's a special rearrangement from the second movement of the New World Symphony written by the brilliant composer Anton Dvorak. As Dvorak pictured the hope of the new world, I ask you to pray that America can return to the world it once was. And if you're not a praying person, I think you'll still find this music very moving. looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and happy 4th of July. If you're listening to me in the car right now, it's probably because you're trying to get to some park or some beach, and you're having just the most fun time finding a parking place. I wonder if the people who set up parking lots are the same people who time our traffic lights. I've often thought it might be interesting to be an invisible fly on the wall during some city traffic commission meeting while they decide how long to time their stoplights, especially left-hand turn signals. Oh, how I love left-hand turn signals. Well, let's see. We'll keep the light red for about an hour in the left-hand turn lane. Yeah, an hour. And then we'll allow the light to turn green for, let's say 4 seconds.
Not a lot of time, JB.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, we'll make it 6 seconds. Well, crazy as turn signals may be, I have a story even goofier. As you know, I substitute host frequently for Rick Amato here on KCBQ, but recently I also filled in for his national Washington Times radio program called Inside the Story. One of my interviews that day was with Washington Times reporter Jennifer Harper. I think you'll find this quite interesting. And welcome back. This is Bob Siegel filling in today for Rick Amato. We're privileged to have joining us by phone Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway columnist and media reporter for the Washington Times. Jennifer, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Now, I understand that you've been following this survey saying that the United States is among the world's most violent countries. Now, I can't say that that survey surprises me, because nothing in the news surprises me anymore. I think they have to retire The Onion as a satirical magazine, because you just can't make this stuff up anymore. However, I would like to get your thoughts about this survey.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Sometimes truth is very much stranger than fiction.
Absolutely.
And this is the fourth annual Global Peace Index that has come out. It's a very statistically oriented type of survey. And indeed, as you mentioned, the United States is ranked number 85 on a list of 149 countries in terms of it being peaceful. And the thing that got everybody kind of crazy about this particular survey is that China, Cuba, Libya, Sierra Leone, Ghana, Chile, and the United Arab Emirates are rated more peaceful than the United States.
And I have to just ask you where Iran and North Korea are on that list.
Well, I've got the list in front of me. It'll take
I hope they're at least a little bit below the United
States.
Well,
they are, actually. And in fact, it's probably helpful to talk about the top 10 first. The top 10 most peaceful nations on the Earth, and this is according to this index. They've taken months and months to figure it out. New Zealand is in the first place, followed by Iceland. Yeah, surprise.
Well, you know, those countries never do anything, so I guess I could believe that they'd be peaceful.
That's right. Well, they're a good movie set, too.
Oh, anyway, yeah. If you love the Lord of the Rings, you love New Zealand.
Right. Iceland is in second place. Japan, Austria, Norway, Ireland, Denmark, Luxembourg, Finland, and in 10th place is Sweden. And you asked about the bottom spots, and the bottom 10 countries, this is from the almost at the bottom of the list, North Korea, the Congo, Chad, Georgia, Russia, Israel,
I knew Pakistan, Israel was going to be on the
yeah,
bottom.
Sudan, Afghanistan, Somalia, and in the very, very last place is Iraq. And it's interesting to note that this particular survey was conducted based on 23, they call them indicators of peace, and they range from all sorts of things, from the intangibles like political stability on to military expenditures to gun sales is another factor, violent crime, and a country's respect for human rights. That's one of the parameters that they used on this, and they take a great deal of time figuring this out, lots and lots of numbers, but still it had a lot of Americans scratching their heads.
So now I'm trying to figure out Iraq. I guess the fact that Iraq is now a democracy, at least for the time being, must have made it move lower down the list, whereas back when they were under strict Sharia law, they might have been a little higher. Is that the way that works?
This I cannot answer. I spoke with the gentleman who actually financed this. He's an Australian entrepreneur and philanthropist who's very interested in the peaceful nature of the world, I guess is a very good way to put that. And in fact, if your listeners are interested in looking at the whole survey, it's posted online at www.visionofhumanity.org. So if they're curious about where countries are falling and the exact parameters that were used by these folks to make these determinations, they've got it all online for you.
I was going to ask about that. Is there any Reader's Digest version you could give us about what criteria they use? I mean, it sounds insane. Unless they did it at one of our major universities, then I would believe every minute of that.
Well, I read the whole poll. It's, 80 pages long or so, and they did have a six-member board of international, and that's how they describe them, international analysts and academics from six different countries, and they determined all the parameters of these measurements. And like some of the things they tallied was how big a prison population each nation had, along with the likelihood that they would have violent demonstrations. Another one of these intangibles was the perception of criminality in that society. The perception of criminality. What's bad in your society? The potential for terrorist acts, and also certainly of interest to gun owners, the potential for the ease of access to small arms and light weapons. That was another criteria that they used. And they went even farther with, they gauged the quality of a democracy, the strength of a nation's institution, their political process, their religious, educational, and cultural dynamics, all kinds of stuff. And it's very interesting to see what peace has come down to, what they think peace is, and these folks say that peace is simply an absence of violence. So you can argue that,
So if you're going after a criminal or you're going after a terrorist, that is violence, too. It's that moral equivalency argument.
Right, and certainly would be interesting if they decided to rate the most violent nations on Earth. I'd like to see where the United States fell on that list also.
It's really nutty. Now, since human rights was one of their criteria, terrorism was one of their criteria, then how do they explain so many Middle Eastern countries which you rattled off that are above America on the list?
These
are countries where homosexuals are executed. These are countries where women have no rights.
Right.
They wrote the book on terrorism. This is insane.
Right. And, I asked the gentleman who came up with this. This is, again, his name is Stephen Kilauea. He's from Australia. This is the entrepreneur and a philanthropist who thought this poll up, wanted to do it, wanted to finance it. I said, what's happening here? And he said, this is a direct quote from him. I sat opposite him, and this is what he told me. He said, we're not out to make moral or value judgments here. We're out to measure the peacefulness of nations and determine what cultural attributes and other internal structures create a peaceful society. So hopefully they'll find out what makes a peaceful society and then share that with all of us.
Oh, the people at the Onion must just be bowing their heads. They're going out of business so soon. You just can't write this stuff. Okay, they're not out to make moral judgments. They're just going to make a list of the countries that are the most violent. That's not a moral judgment at all.
Right. Well, it's interesting, and I think they'll have another one next year and another one the year after that, and maybe we'll see if, they're evolving patterns as to what constitutes peace.
Well, sorry to put you in the role of a psychiatrist to make you try to figure it. In the couple of minutes we have left, Jennifer, any idea why the United States and Israel in particular, are we so low on that list?
Well, sometimes if you take a pollster to task on why they make these judgment calls, they will always cite the numbers. And I think it would take you forever to find out what the numbers are on both the countries. But that's how they back up these things. And I've seen this happen in a lot of polls because I do go through, at least 8 to 10 polls a day, because that's about how many are sent to me. And quite often people will back these up. They'll look at the gun sales. They'll look at the prison population. They'll look at, whether this is damning evidence or not. They will look at how much military expenditures we have. And, boy, we sure have a lot. So when they make these calls, they have a lot of numbers to back them up. So, this is what happens when you try to quantify an idea, what is peaceful, what is not. And like I said, I'll be interested to see what happens when they determine what the qualifiers are for a violent nation.
Yeah, now, writing about polls, is that the main journalistic endeavors of yours?
I write a column called Inside the Beltway every day, okay. And we do have something called the poll du jour.
Okay, so that's part of it. But certainly
right, which is I handpick a poll that I think everybody needs to read on that particular day, because as you know, polls are always a snapshot.
Well, the poll du jour today was a strange soup, Jennifer. But listen, it was delightful talking to you, an absolute pleasure to meet you, and we hope you'll come on our program again really soon.
Anytime, my pleasure.
Okay, Jennifer Harper from Inside the Beltway. That was my interview for Inside the Story on Washington Times Radio, but you're currently listening to The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ Radio. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric. Back to our 4th of July program. Because it's a holiday, we wanted to offer something a little different today, a satirical piece on the condition of law in our country. It's my privilege to introduce to you Lou C. Ferguson, attorney at law. Now, before we start, for all you real attorneys out there, especially the ones who have been guests on my program, especially the ones who have sponsored my program, let me offer my profuse apology. And now, without further ado, Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law.
Trouble with the law? Do you face jail, heavy fines, or even a possible execution? Things like that could ruin your whole day. You need representation. Allow me to introduce myself, Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law. Our competent staff of legal experts will work round the clock to take your enemies and make them the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you've been accused of a crime. Maybe the circumstances are being clouded with challenging technicalities like facts. Perhaps you were negligent on the road or in the workplace. Remember, whatever your wrongs, you have rights. You should not be burdened with confusing, outdated ideas such as morality or responsibility. Or perhaps you haven't done anything at all. Perhaps life is just dull and uneventful. Has it occurred to you that the surest way to fame and fortune is to simply sue somebody? Anyone at all? It's a frequent misconception that lawsuits are limited to fraud or personal injury. Friends, I'm here with good news and perfect algebra. A plus anything equals lawsuit. All it takes is some vision. All it takes is a dreamer. A person with willpower, like the little engine who could. Give me an incident, and I'll give you a pile of money. Maybe someone agreed to go out on a date with you and later on changed their mind. Maybe your teacher assigned homework the night the Grammy Awards were on. Maybe a close friend didn't laugh at that joke which you thought you told so well, resulting in dangerously low self-esteem. Maybe it's your mother's fault that you were born so ugly. Or maybe there's somebody you just don't like. Maybe you want to sue the pants off of them just for the sport of it. Sound too good to be true? Come to the place where there's no such thing as true. The Law Offices of Lou. As an example, I'm going to let you listen in on one of my initial consultations with a fellow I'm certain you will all recognize. I think you'll agree that if I could represent him, I could represent anybody. Take a gander. Afterwards, we'll just see if you'd be willing to call on any lawyer besides your old pal Lou. Adam.
Yes, sir.
Lou Ferguson. A pleasure. Did you find the place okay?
Oh, yes. Good directions. The path was wide and easy.
Can I get you anything? Coffee, cigar, maybe a piece of fruit?
No. No, thanks.
Now, Adam, I want you to relax. This is a free consultation. If I take the case, you can pay me out of the settlement. But today, we just talk. No pressure, no obligation. Just talk.
That's very kind of you.
Forget it. Now, let me go over some of this information. Let's see. Under profession, you wrote gardener and zookeeper. Sounds like interesting work.
Oh, yes. A very fulfilling career. In fact, I'm the one who named most of the plants and animals.
Wait a minute. Wait just one minute. You're not the Adam, the one who put titles over our animal and vegetable kingdom? I'm honored. Very creative. I've been a fan for years. Such imagination, especially eucalyptus tree. I would never have thought of that. And zebra. What a class act. If it had been up to me, I would have called it a horse in his pajamas. But I must ask you, just between the two of us, what's with the orange? It's orange colored, so you call it an orange. What, were you having a bad day or something?
I guess that isn't my best one.
Well, we can't hit one out of the ballpark all the time. At least you made up for it with a tangerine. Now, it says here that you live in Eden. Eden, isn't that lovely cluster of condos on the corner of Tigris and Euphrates?
Well, it's more like a living garden, actually. A wonderful place. I would hate to leave it. But I'm afraid I may have to.
Oh?
Well, you see, the wife and me, we kind of...
Go on, son. I know this is difficult.
We, broke the rule.
Sounds harmless enough. Usually rules from the condo association are fairly easy to challenge. What did you do? Have too many guests using the pool at once? Something like that?
No, nothing like that. You see, God, he's the head of the association. God told us not to pick the fruit of a particular tree.
Come again?
Well, there were many trees in the garden. All kinds. God put one of them off limits and told us not to touch it.
Let me see if I'm following this. You got in trouble for picking some fruit?
Yeah. Only one piece.
What kind of fruit?
I don't know. God got so mad he wouldn't even let me name that one. Now God says we gotta leave. Says we have to be out by the end of the month.
Sounds like something he'd do.
You've met?
Oh, we go way back. It's been a while since he had me out to the house. We had a bit of a falling out. But I know him well, and yes, indeed, he is a stickler for the rules. Honestly, sometimes I think he does nothing but sit around and make up ridiculous laws all day long. The guy needs a hobby. Instead, all we get from him is, don't touch this, don't eat that, don't work today, work tomorrow instead. Go tell that fellow if he doesn't straighten out his act, I'm gonna come down there and clobber him good. And get this, he has a thing against shellfish. Shellfish! Where does he come up with this stuff? Personally, I enjoy a nice bowl of clam chowder. He's very oppressive. Doesn't believe in taking polls, hates committees. You do it his way or you don't do it at all. The guy's a tyrant.
Yeah, but can we fight him in court?
Oh, I don't think there'll be much trouble. We'll challenge his ruling with a lawsuit.
Excuse me?
I said we'll challenge the ruling, and there's only one way to challenge.
Yeah, but suing God? God can't be sued.
Really? I didn't know you were a lawyer, Adam.
I'm not a lawyer. I just thought
Don't think, son. It hurts the team. Now, Adam, what price would you put on the pain caused to you so far? Let's add it up. Time away from home, time away from job, looking for a new job. Stress on the marriage, chronic depression, right? I mean, you don't look too happy to me, huh? Shall we say $80,000 in compensatory damages and additional $20,000 in punitive damages? Now, let me ask you something. Was there any kind of sign posted on or near the tree telling you not to touch it?
Sign? No, there wasn't any sign.
Then how did you know it was forbidden?
God said so.
Verbal, eh? Verbal contract is not binding like a written one.
Oh.
You look troubled.
Well, it's just that whether it was written or not, I did know what I was doing.
Look, Adam, you're young and inexperienced. You've never been in a courtroom before, so let me give you some free advice. Never, ever admit for a second that you knew what you were doing.
But I did.
Okay. Okay, have it your way. Leave Eden. But I hope you're ready for it. There's a real world out there, Pally, where you do more than play gin rummy under a palm tree all day. Do you know what it's like to have a real job? With a real job, you actually work. You don't just name cows and pet pigeons. You ever been to a coal mine? Oh, you'll love it. Or a factory? You're good at naming plums. How would you like to can plums? Now, let me ask you again. Did you know what you were doing?
Did I know what I was doing? About what?
Excellent. Okay, next question. Tell me about your childhood. Was it abusive? Did you come out of a dysfunctional home?
Well, God raised me, but I was never actually a child. He created me grown up, like I am now.
Did he? Just exactly how do you know that? Have you ever checked with the county clerk's office to see your birth records?
Well, no.
God told you, yes. He seems to tell you a lot of things. So he created you, huh? Out of what?
He said he made me from the dust of the ground.
The dust of the ground? Good one. What did he do? Empty a vacuum cleaner? Okay, so God personally manufactured you, and were batteries already included? All right, here's the thing. When he claimed to create you, did he present any alternative theories?
Theories?
Did he allow you to open your mind to the possibility of evolution?
Not really.
I see. He suppressed knowledge. I'd call that an abuse. Knowledge frees people. People can feel very liberated and very valuable when they learn that they may have evolved randomly from a single-celled amoeba. God was obligated to teach you this.
But he doesn't believe that.
Oh, he doesn't believe it. He. It's about him. Oh, what about you? Don't misunderstand me. I have nothing but respect for personal beliefs. Tolerance is my middle name. God may believe anything he wants, but when he imposes that belief on you, well, it violates separation between church and state.
Come to think of it, God did act like there were certain things that he didn't want me to know. He even called the forbidden tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
See, now there's an example. Using a word like evil. And personally, I find that term offensive. The modern correct phrase is ethically challenged.
I don't know what that means.
It means you challenge God's subjective, self-imposed, puritanical standard.
Oh,
you were hemmed in. You were feeling claustrophobic.
I was? Oh, I was. I was.
You were misunderstood.
I see where you're going with this. But portraying God as not understanding something, how could...
How could he understand? God is not a man. God has never had the experiences of a man.
I suppose not.
So out of disrespect for your own culture, God imposed his Eurocentric ideas.
I don't think he's from Europe.
Okay, heavenly-centric ideas. Doesn't matter. We can make this sell.
I don't know, Mr. Ferguson.
Call me Lou.
Okay. Lou, what if the jury doesn't go along?
Son, this is only one possible defense. There is another plan to kick around.
Well, what would that be?
Well, now it's just an idea, mind you. But we could pin this whole thing on your wife. I mean, she ate the fruit, too. Didn't she?
Yeah. In fact, she ate it first.
Ate it first? She ate it first? Why am I hearing this only now? I need to be informed about these things.
It didn't seem to matter who did it first.
She ate it first. Why did she eat it first?
She met somebody.
She met somebody? Ooh, I like the sound of that. New man in her life?
Some mysterious fellow who used to poke around the garden. I do have his name. Bill Z. Bub.
Never heard of him.
No? Actually, he looks a lot like you. Talks like you too, come to think of it. Told Eve about our rights. About God hiding knowledge. Same kind of discussion.
Small world. So after she ate the fruit, she offered you a piece.
Yeah. I was upset at first. She said she just wanted to make fruit salad for dinner. She said she didn't see how fruit salad could hurt anything. I was still bothered.
Of course you were, because you're loyal. You respect God. You appreciate his wise boundaries.
But a moment ago you said God's boundaries
were... Adam, this is defense two, not defense one.
Oh, yeah.
You respect God. You would never dream of disobeying him unless you were under some kind of pressure, some kind of duress. You were in a position where you couldn't say no. It was not an option. Shining off her fruit salad was no less than insulting her cooking.
I never looked at it like that.
I know you didn't. That's what I'm here for. Your old pal Lou is gonna see you through this. She pleaded, right?
She sure did.
Maybe whined a bit. Don't tell me. If you really cared about a relationship, you'd share this.
It was kinda like that.
She got teary-eyed, put the lower lip out, maybe threatened you with a couch.
We don't own a couch.
Get one. Now, tell me more about your wife.
Okay. Well... Her name is Eve.
Lovely name. Shame we're gonna have to take her down.
She's lovely looking, too. Red hair.
Red, did you say? Oh, I've always rather liked the color red. How did you meet?
God introduced us.
You were introduced? Blind date kind of deal?
Well...
Let me ask you something. Was getting married your idea?
No. You see, God, he said it wasn't good for me to be alone.
Not good to be alone? And you bought that? So you didn't enjoy the peace and quiet? You didn't like spending your evenings and weekends as you choose? You must have really craved a wife during those poker games or in the middle of Monday night football. You were drinking too much beer with your buddies. Yeah, you were miserable, all right. So God brings this woman along, this woman who promises to make your life unpleasant if you don't do as she says, and then God is going to turn around and blame you? We found it, Adam. Eve is your ace in the hole.
Well, I guess she'll bear up under all this. After all, she's filing a lawsuit of her own.
What did you say?
Just as I'm blaming her, she's blaming that Bill fellow, that Bill Z. Bub.
Stop the tape.
What's wrong? Hey, are you sure you don't know that guy?
Twinkie, did I get any mail today? You are hereby ordered to appear before... Okay, kid, thanks for stopping by. I'll think this thing over and we'll get right back to you.
Wait a minute. What's wrong? You're not abandoning me, are you?
Abandon? I, Adam, that hurts. Listen, if push comes to shove and you need a new place to stay, look me up. I'm also a landlord.
Hold on. What's going on? Just what on earth is going on here? You said you were a lawyer. Now I'm supposed to believe you're a landlord?
The best. Put me to the test if you wish. Call any one of my tenants and just see if they've ever had to ask me to turn up the heat.
What?
So long, kid. Keep in touch. Yes, I'd like a one-way ticket to Cincinnati. The name? Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law.
You've been listening to Lucy Ferguson on this 4th of July edition of the Bob Siegel Show. Last week, we left off in the middle of an important discussion about Jesus claiming that he was the only way to heaven. We will continue this slightly controversial topic and read some of your emails when we return.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. bobsiegel.net.
This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Welcome back to our program. You can reach us by phone or email, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. And of course, we get many comments today through Facebook. For example, Pat says he likes what I said about Reverend Wright and wonders how a seminary could have allowed that speech. Interesting that that speech was given at a seminary. What a breed of new pastors we're creating, huh? Maureen says on the same subject, this is the man who Obama, Maureen writes this a lot, she likes to call him Obama. This is the man who Obama sat in front of for 20 years. This hateful, racist, and anti-Semite belief system is Obama's view of normal, quote unquote, as when confronted with accusations that Wright was all of these things, Obama seemed genuinely puzzled. This is standard stuff for him. Kind of helps to explain the anti-Israel policy, doesn't it? It sure does. Maureen also comments on Obama taking over the internet. She says, they say that the president had this power before, but this must add something that we don't know, or maybe the previous act was done prior to the internet being such a part of everyone's life, and this bill ties up the loose ends in case of a challenge. Just a guess, but a good one. On the same subject, Evie writes, yes, just received this garbage from someone. Can you believe the corruption? Unfortunately, Evie, I've reached a point where I'll believe anything. On the subject of the Obama administration suing the state of Arizona, Ann says, this is seriously a crazy move by the Obama administration. They do not send troops. They called the law misguided before even reading the text. Now they are going to sue Arizona for taking care of an unmet need. The leadership of the federal government is bananas. Well, last week we were in the middle of a discussion at the end of our show about the question, why is Jesus the only way? And I talked about the personal relationship we can receive with the Spirit of God. And I made it very clear that it's not about belief. It's not about God giving people a theology exam on Judgment Day. It's just that there has to be some way of overcoming our sins. And it's not about merely believing in Jesus. It's about obeying Jesus, which none of us could do left to our own devices, and that's why God gives us a spirit. I closed with this scripture last week. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That was from Romans chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 12 says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? And then in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Now you're thinking, but people must still choose this relationship, and according to the Bible, many won't, which means that although God doesn't want to, he will still send multitudes to hell. Why then did God give us a free will if he knew we would misuse it? Doesn't this make God responsible for the evil in the world, along with the evil that will someday inhabit hell? Well, evidently being in God's image is considered an ideal quality, characterized by certain freedom. The alternative is to be a programmed robot or a mindless animal. You may question your free will, but you will have a hard time convincing me that you aren't grateful to it. Without this quality, you would not possess the unique personality and creativity that makes you a special individual. How many wars and revolutions have been fought in the name of freedom? Doesn't this say something about how people truly cherish their free will? Just as God knew that men and women would misuse their free will, he also knew ahead of time that Christ would die for our sins. This projected forgiveness gave God the leeway to teach us through our own stupid mistakes as we learn to appreciate righteousness and use our free will properly. I never appreciate good health until I get sick. In a similar manner, humans as a species acted like the prodigal son, who insisted on leaving the security and protection of his father to make his own life in the world. We have seen the horrifying results of human life separated from God. Now, having experienced evil, we look toward a future day when paradise is restored. We have learned to appreciate goodness. This is not to say that evil was necessary or that evil was preferable. I'm merely describing the manner in which God taught us not to misuse our freedom by providing a vision of its ugly effects. The story of Adam and Eve is frequently referred to as a fairy tale. Of course, I used to view it that way myself until a careful study of this story brought about an interesting discovery. Genesis chapters 1 through 3 is the most logical explanation I have ever seen to account for our world's condition. Now, why do I call it a logical explanation? Well, that I'm going to get into with you next week. I hope you enjoy the rest of the 4th of July. And of course, tomorrow's the real holiday, Monday, because you don't have to work. But I'll tell you what you do have to do. You have to come back next week for the Bob Siegel Show.